without further ado, it's about this time we normally go. Good evening, Ryan.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm all right. It's been a bit, I've just had a proper coffee, and I don't think I should have done. I normally drink decaf, and I'm feeling already slightly on the edge.
Already on the edge.
listen, it's good that you're back, obviously. We do appreciate that. And you're currently working away at the moment. You're currently down at the wonderful Goodwood, and you put some pictures before on Facebook. And to say I'm not down with the kids kind of using slang words and everything else, but I'm well gel. There you go. I'm putting it out there. Just tell us very, very briefly what you're up to down at Goodwood.
I work for various manufacturers on different projects, and I'm working on an event down here at Goodwood this week. And I have to say, it might be 6 weeks before the Festival of Speed kicks off, but they've already started building trade stands and putting the infrastructure in place. So I'm looking forward to coming back here in 6 weeks' time for the Festival of Speed.
Fantastic. Hey, listen, we need to crack on, because as ever, I've just been telling everyone we've got a very, very busy show. So I want to quickly blast through the news, and something I probably should have mentioned last week, because he has been on the show several times and he's a friend of the show as well. David Higgins, just 10 wins on the trot now. Obviously, some of those trip into last season, but 10 straight wins over on the Rally America series. And fair play to him, because there's been quite a lot back and forth I've seen on Twitter, on Facebook and stuff, with regards to, obviously, you know, Ken's not there at the moment, and Travis isn't there, but obviously, you know, you can only beat what's in front of you. And in all honesty, I think David's got enough minerals about him to take on all comers. What do you reckon?
Well, he's, like you said, you can only beat who you're up against, and not only has he been dominant, he's you know, he's really wiped the floor. And even when Ken Block has been there, and Anton Lestage as well, then David's you know, really performed very, very well against them. But you know, David grew up in that whole rallying dynasty, didn't he, of the Higgins family. We know how capable he is, and you know, he's a professional driver at the end of the day, and living up to that reputation.
Yeah, I think we're going to try and get him on over the next few weeks, I think, because it's been a while since we spoke to him. We spoke to him the end of last season, and it'd be good to get him on anyway. It'd be good to get him on and have a catch up. But we're going to probably ask Rich about this as well, but it seems every week we mention him. But Kubica's now all kind of settled and everything. He's got an M Sport car, and he's got some new people but are working in conjunction with M Sport at Portugal this weekend, but he's got a car anyway.
Yeah, and obviously, as we've talked about previously, great to see, because Kubica is an exciting force in the World Rally Championship. He's got incredible speed. He's now got one of the brand new Evolution Fiestas, and you know, let's hope he can start to put some results in. Let's hope he can bring the car to the end of the rally while carrying that speed that he's clearly shown.
Absolutely. The other thing I wanted to mention, I feel like I'm rushing you, but I've got to rush you because we've got probably more guests than ever on this particular program. WRC calendar for 2016 been announced. 9 events kind of confirmed, and only 2 with dates confirmed. Struggling to get my head around this one. I don't know if you've seen it at all.
I haven't seen it as yet, other than that brief message you sent me earlier on. But yeah, it sounds a little bit of a strange one.
Yeah, it's again, we always refer to it, but Jerry Williams, who has been involved with as journalist with WRC for many, many a year, probably longer than you and I have been around, in all honesty, with all due respect. But he's a man who knows his stuff, and he wrote a very interesting article on it today with regards to, obviously, the FIA, and obviously making this public now, as opposed to supposedly helping the events get ready. But many of the events haven't even got dates yet. But one thing that has been alluded to in a couple of articles that I've also read today is, obviously, they are trying desperately to get an event back in the Far East, whether it be China or whether it be Japan. Obviously, with the likes of Toyota obviously looking to come back next year, 2017, obviously Hyundai already there. We've got the Far East manufacturers, and obviously there's a couple of other Far East manufacturers that could be coming back as well. So I think they're desperately trying to find a way of shoehorning in an event over in the Far East.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, important certainly Japan for the Japanese manufacturers, but China is key for the car manufacturers, and ultimately the car manufacturers are in world rallying to sell cars. And we've seen with Citroën's World Touring Car program, they've put a Chinese driver in there, you know, to really boost the popularity in China. And it's really important for the WRC to get an event in China in the next few years.
I think so. One thing I wanted to say, by the way, if you are listening live, we are welcoming questions for Nicky Grist, and obviously for Stuart Loudon, and also for Roshan Price, and also for Rick Smalley. Even stick a couple of questions in for me and Ryan, if you're so pleased. But thank you, by the way. We've just had a picture of me tweeted from the weekend, and fair play. It's an awkward one because it genuinely looks like I'm static. So I've just retweeted it, and judging by the stage times and everything else that happened at the weekend, I had one of those. I don't normally talk about this stuff, but I had one of those things. And if you've been rallying in any way, shape, or form, you'll appreciate this. We had a mare, right? We had a mare of a day, and no matter what we did, we just couldn't. Fair play to the guy who beat me, General Cook. He was a quick boy all day. I couldn't catch him all day. But when it's the final stage, we'd had a push on the last two, and we kind of closed the gap a little bit on the time he was taken out of us. And then three corners in, I had a puncture. I stopped to change the puncture, and the jack broke.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the excuses are coming out to me, so I think we better move on.
Oh, tough crowd, Ryan. I thought I might have got the kindred spirit there. I thought I might have got a little bit of support.
I did see some dust behind the car on the picture, so I can see you're not actually stationary, but that's the best I'm going
to
give you.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Listen, we need to add, obviously, our star guest for this evening. We need to add Nicky to this call. So we're going to bring Nicky Grist in very, very shortly, but... And say we're also going to try and come up with the question, or rather we're going to put something out there this evening with regards to one of the stages, so we can give out the codes that the guys at Codemasters very, very kindly gave us. So we're going to try and put something out about that later on. Ryan and I should have spoke about that, but I've made a conscious decision tonight. They're going to go out. But anyway, before we witter on any more about codes for computer games, I want to welcome back. He has been on the show many, many years ago now, but welcome to Total Rally, Nicky Grist.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're really, really good. I'm just saying to Ryan, just starting the show, I've had my first proper cup of coffee probably for about 6 months. Feeling slightly wired, Nicky, I'll be honest.
First cup of coffee 6 months, you're high as a kite, are you now?
Yeah, I'm a cheap date, Nicky, but there you go.
Yeah, it sounds like it's just a bit of caffeine and you're away, my word.
Absolutely, listen.
Well, I've just had a glass of wine with dinner, so, I mean, I don't know. How would you manage with one glass of wine, I wonder?
I'd probably be lying on my back with my legs in the air, but that's a different conversation, probably for a different programme, in all honesty. But listen, Nicky, thanks so much for joining us. You've got me and Ryan this evening on Total Rally. First and foremost, we spoke very quickly off air when we were sorting stuff out before. You won Rally Portugal 94 with Kankinen in the Celica, 98 with Colin in the 98 WRC Impreza, and 99 in the Focus.
That's right.
But the reason why I'm explaining this, folks, is that when I rang Nicky before, I said, you know, you have won it three times. And he went, are you sure? Which I just thought was an outstanding statement. Are you sure that I've won? Yeah, I'm pretty certain you've won it three times. So there you go.
Is that so much success?
I have to do some homework, guys, as well, just to double check. And I revert back to a great selection of books that now, unfortunately, are not being produced. It was the Pirelli World Rally and Annuals by Martin Holmes. Very informative about a year in motorsport. And I actually found out that, the one I'd forgotten about was 98 with Colin. And at the time, it was the smallest winning victory up to 1998 to 2.1 seconds. But, you know, there's a far lesser winning margin being achieved since that. But, you know, I can't remember much about it, unfortunately.
Well, I see, actually, Nicky, that the first time you did Portugal was back in 1991 as well. So maybe that's why you're starting to forget. But we'll come back to that in a minute.
It's a sign of age as well, Ryan. Don't forget that.
So I bumped into you last weekend. We were at Knockhill for the McCrea Rally Challenge, and that was a fantastic event to celebrate Colin's World Championship win, wasn't it?
No, I'm dumbfounded just quite how many people still hold him in such high regard. You know, I mean, the turnout was fantastic. Now, I don't know what the official figures are, but, you know, from what I and certainly you have seen, that, you know, there were so many people there. And, you know, just to see all that car collection, all the people that brought, you know, some of our old rally cars there and some of Colin's old rally cars there, you know, it really was quite a special weekend. And, you know, to have Alistair winning the inaugural McCrea Rally Challenge was quite a nice touch as well. But, you know, I'm sure he wasn't given the victory. He did have to earn it, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, not only a great turnout in terms of spectators, but to have, you know, the former world champions, the legends of the sport, like Hannu Mikkola there, like Stig Blomqvist there, you know, as you said, that just shows what regard Colin was held in, doesn't it? Even within the sport.
Yeah, well, there were some stars there in certainly Hannu Mikkola and Stig Blomqvist, and Arne Hertz came over, and I haven't seen Arne for quite a few years, but you know, we just forget, you know, I mean, I've been out of the World Championship now for, 9 years or so, you know, but, you know, Hannu was rallying, you know, in the World Championship when, you know, I was probably about 6 or 7. You know, just the experience that guy's got and what he's seen. And, you know, at the Rally Forum, we only extracted a very small part of, you know, the knowledge that's built up over the years, but you know, I sat with him in that first Colin McRae stages, you know, and it was quite enlightening to ask him all the questions about yesteryear and what it was like, and you know, the cars that he drove and the start of the Audi and the way that the Audi progressed into all its different forms. You know, it really is a dream come true for any keen rallyist, you know. But yes, Hannu has supported a number of McRae events, and you know, for him to turn up here certainly was a very nice touch indeed.
And great to see both Stig and Hannu reunited with the Quattros, with the Sport Quattros. That was incredible to see as well. And you were reunited with some of the cars you co-drove for Colin in.
Yeah, there was quite a lot there, and I have to say that, you know, while, you know, I spend a lot more time in the Focus, you know, the Subaru, that WRC Subaru, the first one they produced, was the first first car that was actually dedicated to being just the World Rally Car for Subaru. I don't think they've ever done it since, but it just looks such a fantastic car, you know, and as a, you know, the 22B road car as well, which was basically identical in terms of body shape. There's just something about it in that blue with the yellow writing. Certainly pulls a few heartstrings, you know. But, you know, I had some good fun on the weekend, I have to say.
Well, like you said, the famous blue and yellow Subaru World Rally Car, fantastic memories for so many people. You won Portugal in 98 in that car. You then won back-to-back in 99 with what was brand new to the World Championship at the time, the Focus. And he'd actually just won Safari with the car as well. I mean, that was quite an incredible time, wasn't it, for the Ford team to win those rallies?
It was. But when you consider the build-up to the start of that Focus, you know, we were there when the car actually fired into life the first time. They had, I forget what the name of the testing area is outside Milton Keynes, but they had a workshop there and the car fired in life for the first time. But, you know, all the initial tests that we did with the Focus was really proving very difficult indeed. There was this problem, that problem. You know, things were curtailed. We went out 2 attempts before Christmas and they ended up being disasters. Then we went out between Christmas and New Year and that ended. Then we had a power steering pump failure and the car caught fire, and then we had to go out for another test in early January to try and get the handling sorted, of which they managed to get some springs made over the Christmas holidays. How they managed that, I don't know. But then, you know, we did manage to get round Monte Carlo route, but then it was some strange thing they were excluded for. It was something to do with a water pump. But, you know, we retired from Sweden, then we went to Africa, of course, being the toughest event in the world. You know, to actually pull off a victory there took everybody by complete surprise. We didn't expect to finish, let alone win. You know, and Ford weren't prepared. There was no advertising booked anywhere. And then, of course, straight back from there to do the first proper gravel sprint event of the year. And lo and behold, we went and won that as well, which was an even bigger surprise. Again, totally unprepared for. But, you know, from there on, we retired on every single rally, you know, which was an experience I wouldn't like to put anybody through. But, you know, when you compare it to nowadays, when you know, your event is very much compacted into a matter of probably 2 days recce on a Tuesday and Wednesday, a shakedown and a few other bits and pieces on the Thursday. Then Friday, Saturday, Sunday rally finishing lunchtime and you're home by Sunday night. Well, in these days, you know, it was like 2 weeks of recce and preparation and what have you. But then to non-finish something like 10 or 9 or 10 events on the trot, of course, was an awful feeling, I have to say, and morale was really on a low. And, you know, but to have finished two events in the earlier part of the year and to win them both, you know, it was just one of those crazy seasons, I suppose.
Now, going back a little bit further, as we said, you won with Juha Kankkunen in 94 in the Salika, and I guess the rally was even longer and tougher then. The rally's moving back to its spiritual home, if you like, this weekend in further north in Portugal. You have really good experience of those stages. What are the crews going to find on this weekend's rally?
Well, actually, in many ways, the character of these stages and the surfaces for the majority of them will be quite similar to what they found in Argentina. All right, you don't have the same altitude, but you've got this kind of compact sandy surface. But, you know, a lot of sort of man-made gravel roads through the countryside, which do offer a very similar character to Argentina. So that's something at least that Chris Meek will be very happy about, because he'll feel at home there. Some of the guys may have done the FAF stage, which is probably the most iconic stage that anyone would have seen in Portugal, which finishes with a really big jump right at the very end. Now, that stage historically has had, I'm not talking tens of thousands, almost hundreds of thousands of spectators, you know, and I know that on the build-up to Rally Portugal this year, you know, they've had to call in army and major amounts of police to come and help block roads, you know, keep spectators away, because they are so enthusiastic. And I think that probably for a European World Championship event, the support and the amount of people they're going to see is going to be unprecedented. You know, it's, you know, you've got to cast your mind back to those early days of Group B, when we saw the tarmac stages and Sintra Mountains, just north of Lisbon, straight out of the start, where you had that horrendous crash with a local driver in RS200. I don't know, do you guys remember that?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and
yeah, you know, and I mean, all right, that was the end of Group B, but, you know, you're not going to be getting situations like that, because security on stages now is going to be a lot tighter and people will be kept back. But you'll still need a lot of security and a lot of personnel to keep everything on the straight and narrow. And this FAF stage particularly, and I can't remember which day it's on, will be the high point for a lot of people. And this jump at the end, I think you're better off watching it on television, because it's going to be hellish to try and get a vantage point even. But, you know, I think it is going to be a rally that's going to be hard fought for. You know, some of the stages I know they've had to work extremely hard on, and again, the army have been called in to build up some of the, or rebuild some of the roads to the very northern part of the route, near a place called Viana do Castelo, because they've had a hard winter there, and I think a lot of the roads were destroyed. So they're probably going to be looking at roads that, while on the outside, will look quite compact, but from my memory, they always used to be quite loose and cut up, and then rocks start appearing out of the surfaces. So there could be a few surprises maybe along the way, maybe damage suspension, you know, possibly punctures through to the sidewalls being ripped out of tyres. But, you know, generally, I think it's going to be a hard-fought event from start to finish.
Now, just before we go to a couple of questions for you, I mean, just to finish off on Portugal, the FAF stage runs on Sunday, and it's also the power stage as well. Chris Meek definitely remembers it last year from the rally sprint when he had that incredible jump over it. You've been around the WRC a long time. You've seen a lot of drivers take their first win. What do you think this is going to do to the career of Chris Meek from now on?
Well, obviously, you know, he's overcome the biggest hurdle that any competitor, and it doesn't matter in what sport it is, winning their first event, first tournament or whatever, that confidence is going to be worth a lot. We can't underestimate, of course, the car that Volkswagen have. I think, you know, they run into some quite bizarre technical issues in Argentina, but, you know, Chris's confidence is sky high. He's going to be taking that through into this event, and he is going to be almost the hero, because everybody will want to speak to him about his victory in Portugal. And I think it's going to work wonders for him. And I know that at the start of the year, the new Citroën came with a new engine, which was dramatically better. And I think that would serve him well. And I think that it's only but going to get better and better. Although saying that, you know, a third place for Elvin, you know, if we're going to talk about the Brits, we've got to mention Elvin. You know, that third place for him is going to be a real ego boost as well. And of course, you know, Ford have got a new engine, more performance, and they've made some improvements with that car. So it'll be interesting just to see what the Ford is going to do as well. But I think Elvin just needs another season of WRC at his top level to really bring the best out of him. But at least a third place in Argentina is a really good start to the season.
Yeah, I mean, a really exciting time for British rallying, for British WRC. We've got a lot of competitors there as well this weekend. Tony, what questions have we got for Nicky?
We've got plenty of questions for Nicky as ever, but he's kind of covered quite a few of them, but very, very quickly, and one which I know is quite close to your heart, Nicky, because you've helped a number of people over the years, but we've certainly had a fair few Brit and Irish co-drivers on since we came back here at Total Rally, and what do you think the big catalyst is for the number of co-drivers we seem to be feeding into WRC? And again, we're back in the realms of, you know, we look at young James Morgan, who was a guest of ours last week, who's obviously making his WRC2 debut with Sander Pahn this weekend. We seem to be popular again with co-drivers. Obviously, you got about as a co-driver. I mean, with the greatest respect, obviously. But what do you think the attraction is again?
Well, I think with ever-increasing costs, even for a talented driver, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you ain't got the money, there's no way you're going to compete. Which, you know, certainly from my point of view as a youngster, I didn't have much money. I couldn't afford to have my own car to go rallying, and I started co-driving. And I think it's a great way to start, get the experience, get out there in the forest, learn the ins and outs of rallying at least. But things just went from one stage to the next. And I got to the point, certainly, where I was competing as a co-driver at a far higher level than I would have ever have achieved as a driver. I think that obviously would make a difference to some, but I think that the art of co-driving, albeit the events have changed a little, you know, the art of co-driving is all about somebody that's being well-prepared, has got a good, certainly good patience and a good nerve, but somebody who really wants to put a lot of time and effort in can achieve great things as a co-driver, as long as they've got the drive and determination to get out there, get their face out there, and put themselves in the position to possibly say yes to a drive when it does come along. But, you know, nothing comes to anybody that doesn't put a lot of work into it. And, you know, James, from a very early age of working with him as a youngster when he was road rallying, you know, has really come through the phrase, a very bright individual as well. But, you know, James is going to go from strength to strength, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of other British youngsters following on as well.
Fantastic. The guys at We Are The Terrors sent that question in. Thanks so much. Daniel, Darrell, also, I think we'd all like this question not to be a question but to be a statement, but do you feel that we could ever get back to the heights that we had with both Colin and Richard? Now we've got Chris and Elvin there, or are we silly to actually even be suggesting that, you know, putting pressure on people?
No, I think there's every possibility that we could get back there. You know, I very much see in Chris what was in Colin. I mean, there is this natural talent, but also a hell of a flair as a driver. I mean, they're very similar in many ways into the way that Chris has got to where he is, was much along the same lines as Colin, and I think that he does have the flair. I think, you know, when I look at Elvin, he in many ways is very similar to Richard, very calm, collective, very, very methodical. I've, you know, never seen a rally driver be so methodical in his preparation through his thought processes and his build-up to an event in rallying, as I've seen Elvin, very similar to what you find in top-flight races. But Richard was that way inclined, very methodical, thought everything through. And who's to say that in the years to come, with bigger and better teams perhaps joining the fray, if Toyota come in, there'll be more opportunities for more people. You know, these guys can go higher up the ladder and compete a lot more. And I think there's every possibility that things will get better. We just need to get the British press on our side. And certainly, you know, the Colin McRae era used to stir the press as well as the spectators, you know, and there was always a good story to be had. And, you know, that wicked sense of humour that he had used to, certainly the wind-ups that we had between us all was literally just wind-ups and just good banter. But at the end of the day, it got the press going. And if we can get that going again, then there's absolutely no reason why we can't have Brits really sort of right at the top, challenging for world championships again.
Fantastic. Listen, thank you so much. And one last question, because there's so many that have come in and we could probably keep you here all night. So we're going to let you get back to that bottle of wine that you've opened. But best and worst memories of Rally Portugal?
Worst memories. My word, I can't think of a worst memory.
That's good.
best memories. Let's talk a few about some of my best memories. You know, it was the grilled gambas and a glass of vino verde. It was one of Colin's and my, and even Juha's to a point, favour, where you've got these prawns that are just ginormous things, almost like lobsters, you know, chopped in half and grilled. That's simple as it gets, but with a glass of wine. That was a very fond memory. Also, of course, you can't forget winning rallies as well, and winning my first one with Juha, which was the only one that we won in 1994, in one of my favourite cars in the Celica. But I suppose, you know, obviously 1999 was something quite different, because, again, it just came completely out of the blue. You know, we had the pace, we set the pace, but the car stayed with us all the way through. And it only goes to show, no matter how good you are, you're only as good as the next part of the team, be it the car, be it the mechanics, be it the preparation, be it the tyres. But for that weekend, everything just fell into place for us. And, you know, the last World Championship, Rally Portugal, I won with Colin, is also a special moment.
Fantastic. Listen, I'm going to pinch one more question off you, Nicky. Sorry, I did say that would be the last one.
Fire right. away. I mean, it's all night if you want.
Absolutely.
I've got a quarter of a glass of wine left here.
I'd love to get you back, to be honest with you, and just do a whole programme with you. But one last question that has come in. We have listeners all over the world, and we've got two in particular that are massive followers of the show over in New Zealand. And they've just tweeted with regards to, it looks like we mentioned at the top of the show with regards to the calendar being provisionally announced for next year with no definitive dates for many of the events, but it looks like New Zealand could miss out again. What are your thoughts about that? Because every driver seems to love New Zealand, and obviously we thought, obviously with having a New Zealand driver, it might come back in. What are your thoughts about that?
It would be a tremendous shame. I think perhaps the demise of that rally is down to one thing and one thing only, is just probably a team issue, an expense of it's too far to go and it's too costly to get there. But in terms of drivers and the roads that New Zealand have, I don't think there's any roads that lend themselves better to rallying than New Zealand. Just the nature, you've got such a selection of everything, high speed, slow and twisty, but beautiful surfaces, wonderful cambers where you can really lean in the corners and almost jump between corners over the camber of the road. You know, I always thoroughly enjoyed New Zealand. I wasn't lucky enough to win it, but it wasn't about winning New Zealand necessarily that worried me. It was it would worry me not going there and competing there if I was a top flight driver. I think it's a tremendous shame. But, you know, there's some strange things happening in the WRC. You know, the decision makers don't necessarily make the decisions that's right for us all. They've got to make tough decisions, and it looks like maybe they'll lose out. But I would say don't lose hope. I think that the nature of New Zealand roads will always draw back more rallies again. And don't forget, you've probably got one of the best rallies in the world in the Silver Fern Rally. Yeah. I don't think there's any better historic rally than that. And I think that will grow from strength to strength for sure.
Absolutely.
Nicky, you've been an absolute legend. We're already halfway through our programme, so at this point, I would love to welcome you back another time. Would that be good?
More than welcome.
Fantastic.
I'd look forward to it.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Mr. Grist, and we look forward to welcoming you back on the Total Rally soon. Thanks again, Nicky.
All the best, Ryan. Cheers.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go, right. And another Total Rally guest. What we're going to do, we're going to go to a cheeky break, and we're going to come back with our man on the ground at M Sport, Grizzly Rich Milner, who's in the service park. He's just dropped me a cheeky message now, so we're going to come back very, very shortly with Rich Milner from M Sport.
Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate. We can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com.
Welcome back to Total Rally, and welcome back to Total Rally, Rich Milner.
Hello, I'm here.
You are live on the air. We got you straight in, Rich. We said we wasn't going to mess about. Thank you, mate. I know you've just come from a team meeting. I trust everything's good over in Portugal.
Yeah, well, it's good. Everything's positive at the moment, so we're ready to go now.
Fantastic. I was going to say, we're going to be speaking to Ossian Price a little bit later on, so we're going to ask him, obviously, about the recce from his perspective, certainly in a two-wheel drive car. What are the feedback from your drivers?
Tricky, I think, is going to be the key to it. You know, there's a lot of varying stages. The conditions are quite different as well. They had a lot of rain damage, a bit like Argentina, actually, at the start of the year. But they've done a lot of repairing. So there's some different various kinds of repairs. And also some of the roads have even been used by national rallies in between the regrading and now. So, you know, there's real different conditions all the way throughout. And I think it'll be a tricky rally, the guys are predicting.
Fantastic. Well, we've mentioned it kind of every week, and we've mentioned it last time you were on. You've got Mr. Kubica back in the fold, so to speak, with one of the new Fiestas, and obviously a welcome addition back into the team.
Yeah, it's good to have Robert back with us. You know, he's made it public after in Argentina that things weren't going quite as he wanted. So he restructured slightly. So effectively what we're doing is we're supplying him an engineer and a couple of our mechanics, and he's providing three mechanics himself, and we're going to work together that way. And then the idea is over the next few events we'll go along that route, and with potential of him restructuring to his complete own team at some point during the year. But we'll just take it one rally at a time and see how it goes.
One thing we do, and I know Ryan is chomping at the bit to ask this question, but we're only grabbing you for 5 minutes, I know that, so I'm going to ask the question which Ryan is desperate to ask. And he's giggling because he knows. What's the story with the new sound, Rich? Why is that new car sound so different?
Well, I couldn't tell you all our secrets, did I?
Oh, come on, Rick. Shit, mate. It's only me and you and Ryan.
No, it's quite simple. We've got a new rear section of the exhaust. That's the main difference.
Now, I know Ryan's going to ask you about gear cuts now as well, which Rich is going to glaze over when I say that, I can tell. But go on, Ryan, you can ask him the question about the gear cuts.
I was just going to say that the gear cut sounds like a 97 Escort Wheel Rally car, which is fantastic by me because it brings a bit of character. But the car does sound really sharp. And, you know, what's the feeling? I guess the team must be excited about the debut of this car.
Yeah, I mean, the guys are really excited, and it's good that we got feedback from Martin Prokop today, because him, Lorenzo Vitelli and Robert are all on the new cars. Martin's the only customer so far to have driven it on his own test. He was very positive about the car, and we've been working really hard on, like, the lower down torque of the engine, because we know that's where we've been losing out. We feel we've really improved there, so that should be good. The cars sound good. they look very similar, but you know, again, with the gear change, we're on a hydraulic gear change now as opposed to pneumatic, which is what we've been using in the first three events, even though it's still the paddle shift. And that allows us to have quite good control over the gear changes, so you'll always get a good gear change, which may be what you've heard on the videos and stuff and the differences. And the guys have been messing around with the engine and the exhaust is slightly different. So yeah, we've retuned it all slightly, but it does sound good and looks good and goes good and the feedback's good. So we're pretty excited to see where we're going, but we'll soon tell in the next few days.
Well, I was actually going to say, Ryan, have you got something else you want to ask, or are you?
No, I don't want to grab him, Rich, for a minute, so I won't bug him down anymore. So I'll leave you with that one.
You're getting good at this, Rich, by the way. Just thought I'd let you know.
I know. Well, I'm trying. I've even been on Periscope today. I've discovered a new thing there. So my fan base is growing slowly.
Have you had
from 2 to 5 now?
Have you had a shave today?
No, I haven't had time for that.
No,
I haven't had time for that.
It's all go. It's all go, isn't it? Listen,
one Rick, step at a time.
Well, you knew this was radio tonight, so obviously last time you were on, you see. The reason why we mentioned this, by the way, folks, if you didn't hear last time when Rich was on, he'd also been on WRC TV coverage, and he was looking slightly grizzly, and a couple of people tweeted in about Grizzly Rich. So that name's kind of stuck now, so you are Grizzly Rich to us.
Oh, I'll take it as a compliment.
Absolutely. Listen, Rich, wish all the boys and girls all the very best at M Sport, and the very best of luck to all your drivers on Rally Portugal, and we'll catch you up very, very soon.
Thanks very much, team.
Take care. Thanks, Rich.
Cheers.
See you now.
Bye.
And that's how busy Total Rally is. There you go. We've gone from a WRC co-driving legend to Rich Milner, who was the man about town at M Sport, and we're going to be coming back very, very shortly. We're going to go to we're going to try and get Stuart Loudon. Unfortunately, for those of you who are unaware of Stuart, was meant to be starting the Rally Portugal and WRC 2 alongside Keith Cronin, but they were at an event, rather at the event at Shakedown, and they had some problems. I'm not into the images of accidents. I don't know what it is. I just don't like seeing pictures of accidents. But I spoke to Stuart very briefly off air before, and I know obviously all the glass had gone on the car, and I think pretty much it said it had bent pretty much every panel. So the plan is as I say, we're going to try and get Stuart and get Stuart to kind of tell us what's going on about moving forward. And obviously, unfortunately, I suppose what happened on the accident as well. So all being well, if we can get to this bit, we're going to welcome Stuart Loudon for the first time to Total Rally. Welcome to Total Rally, Stuart Loudon.
How are we doing? All right?
We're really, really good. Sorry, I've just been doing the intro and telling our listeners, and there's already been a few people tweeting, obviously, to send on the best and everything else. But I know Ryan's been speaking to you as well, so I know Ryan wants to ask you a couple of things about what's going on today.
Yeah, just Stu, obviously, we're all disappointed to hear that you're back home and you're not in Portugal ready for the rally. Just tell us a little bit about what happened.
We were at the official PH Sport test on Monday. And everything had been going well. We'd done maybe 8 or 9 runs, stopped, had a spot of lunch, went out, did another run, everything was good. And then about 3/4 of the way around our test stage, which was about 5K. Sorry, there's a house phone ringing and everything, that's terribly unprofessional. just about 2K from the end of the stage, we hit a rock on the inside of a corner, and we'd hit the rock probably every single time we'd gone around the stage, and it must have just been the way that we hit it that time. It threw the car over the road. We ended up on the other side of the road, upside down, and then about maybe 20, 30 feet down a ravine, which was a bit sore.
Yeah, it sounds like it wasn't a small accident then, and obviously incredibly disappointing, because it's difficult for anybody not competing in the sport to understand the amount of preparation you go through to get to that stage, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, obviously there's the preparation, but that's not everything. Money is a huge aspect in trying to get to the World Championship, as a lot of drivers and co-drivers know, and us especially, we're running things in a very, very tight budget, and that's one of the reasons why we couldn't start the rally. I reckon maybe if we'd been a very wealthy team, a works team, you would have been able to fix the panel damage and the broken suspension and the steering rack, etc. But when you've not got an endless budget, it's just not possible.
Yeah, and a real shame to hear. What it's obviously early days after that, but has Keith talked to you about what you're going to try and achieve for the next, for the rest of the year going forward?
Well, the next event that we're planning to do is Sardinia, which is obviously only just a few weeks away. So the car's on its way back home. Well, it left yesterday. So we hope to have it home for Saturday. And then it'll just be a strip down and find out exactly everything that's broken. And then reassess. And the worst case scenario is that we're not going to be able to do Sardinia, which would obviously be a huge disaster for the campaign. But we'll just need to wait and see once we get the car home what we're going to do going forward.
Now, for you, obviously, it does mean you're not doing the rally this weekend, but it actually means you get a few days at home because your next rally is not far away, is it?
Yeah, that's right. I've had a few days at home to keep making some chocolate biscuits and keep my grandfather happy. And then I fly out to China first thing on Tuesday morning to do the first round of the Chinese Championship with Alistair McRae.
Which is fantastic. And obviously you were also at the McRae Rally Challenge last weekend and you probably had one of the most exciting seats in the house. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolute honour to be asked by Gordon Shedden to co-drive for him on the event. And the car as well. I mean, a lot of people would say, it was just a 1600 Escort, but I mean, it was like a two-wheel drive World Rally car this time. It really was. It was serious. And obviously on the hill, if you like, the very narrow, tight and twisty, Gordon couldn't really show his full potential. But as soon as we got out onto the track, I mean, we left Steve Perez and his Focus World Rally car behind us. It was unbelievable.
And I mean, it's great to see Gordon having a go at rallying. Do you think he'll be back after that?
Well, he's not a person who likes to take, how shall we say, advice and instruction very well. I mean, literally, I said 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go, and said nothing the whole stage apart from left of this split or re-entry chicane, and that was it. So I don't really know how well he'd get on in a Forest stage having pace notes flung at him, but I'm sure maybe if I can convince him, he might have a go at it.
Well, great to see him having a go at rallying all the same, and thanks for joining us tonight. I know it's a little bit of a difficult time for you. Hopefully we can speak to you later in the year when things are on a happier note and maybe find out about some of your experiences in China. So thanks for joining us and we'll speak to you soon.
Perfect, that's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stuart.
Okay, cheers.
Really appreciate it. We love the tea cakes, yeah. By the way. Love the tea cakes. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Take care. Thanks, Stuart.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right, listen, we're going to go to a very, very quick break, and then we're going to come back with Young Ashon Price. So everybody can stick around, we'll be back very shortly.
Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com.
Welcome back to Total Rally. One thing we were going to do, and Ryan, I know you're listening, we need to pick a stage. We need to pick a stage. You can pick a stage now while I'm going to have a chat with this young man that we're going to pick on Portugal, who for faster stage time, we're nearest to a faster stage time, then we can give away these codes. Anyway, listen, I'm waiting on. Welcome back to Total Rally. Ashon Price, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Fantastic. Listen, we had a very, very brief catch-up at the weekend where you were out supporting your other half on the Plains Rally over here in the UK, supporting the team work. I like the effort that you went to. Sarah had a cracking result, and you flew off to Portugal. How are we feeling?
Yeah, really good. We've had a good recce, and we had a short test on Monday just to get used to the terrain, and everything feels good, and we're looking forward to getting the car again tomorrow on Shakedown.
And we spoke, as I say, over the weekend, and I did ask you the question, how much difference the DS3 now with this Max kit on it actually makes. And you're always got a big smile on your face. It has to be said, you are probably the happiest rally driver I think I've ever met and ever probably spoke to. But your grin probably increased tenfold when I asked you about how the car felt differently with this Max kit on. So the uninitiated, can you just tell us?
Well, on the back of our result from Rally North Wales, you know, you can see what the car's capable of. It's an absolute beast of a car for a little tour drive that you usually see down the shops and in the shopping car park. It's just, a totally different car with so little change. It's basically just an engine upgrade. That's the main difference. But just the amount of power and torque, and you just approach every bend in a gear higher, and it seems to soak it all in.
A gear higher, I love that. I love that. So obviously, it's Shakedown tomorrow. With regards to Shakedown, obviously you're an old hand at going into British Championship events, and you were the front runner in British Rally Championship. Going over to Portugal, it's a country you've obviously. You may have visited on holiday. You've certainly not done any rallies there. How is you going to a Shakedown on that? Do you feel compelled to put in a strong time against your rivals, or is it just about for you personally, just buckling down and making sure the setting's right on the car?
It's more of a personal thing for me anyway. I try to just try and get some sort of a feeling in the car that, you know, you can sort of build on that when you get to the actual competitive stage. But we're going to try some hard compound tyres tomorrow, because we haven't had a chance properly to try them all round. So we'll have to give it a little bit of a go. But the stage isn't quite representative of the rally itself. The twistiness is there, but the surface is a little bit different. And as well, there's a little bit of tarmac on the Shakedown, which there is on some of the long stages. So we'll get to sort of get a feel for the car on gravel tyres, on tarmac. So we'll have not to do anything silly and just get round and get a feel, basically.
One thing, obviously, we did speak about again was the people you've got running the car for you at the moment, which is Asquith. And for those who don't know, probably more WRC drivers over the last 15 years have gone through their hands driving two-wheel drive cars than any other small team. Just tell us what it's like, because you've gone through different teams, you've ran the car yourself and everything else. Just tell us what the feeling's like around Asquith.
It's great for me, because I can sort of take a back seat in one way and just concentrate on my driving. And even though I like to be a little bit of a, you know, a part of the team and get involved and get stuck in and get my hands dirty, it's when you come to such a high profile event like this, it's nice to just concentrate on being a driver and, you know, getting the preparation right, which is I've managed to do this time, and not stress about the car and worry about things that I shouldn't be worrying about. So the Asquith, they're just a great team, and as you said, you know, they've had a lot of great drivers through their hands, you know, from Yari Matti to Miko, and it's great to be the next in the lineup.
Fantastic. I know this evening Ryan Champion, who is not a guest host, I keep calling him that, he's one of our hosts now, but I know Ryan wants to ask you something, so Ryan Champion, ask away.
Yeah, I was just going back before that, you know, thinking the drivers Asquith have had, we talked about David Higgins earlier, Mark Higgins, Robbie Head, Neil Weirden, God, the list's endless. But Ojin, you're in the team now, and it's a cracking entry of DS3s in the Junior World Rally Championship. I think there's somewhere in the region of 15 cars out. It's going to be a real fight, isn't it, from start to finish?
Yeah, it's going to be a fight. There's a cracking entry, as you said, and some very, very quick drivers here. But the Friday stages are quite crucial. They're the roughest ones of the whole rally, I think. So it's going to be a case of find a sort of a comfortable pace and, you know, try not to destroy the car. And if we're taking, you know, big risks, and not big risks, but big hits with the car, and the car's having some abuse, and they're a lot quicker than us, then I'll know that the car won't be able to last with them. I'll just stick at it, and, you know, I know my car will last at the pace I'm going if I don't do anything silly. So we'll just have to take it from there, really.
Yeah, and I mean, as he said, a championship's won over the year, isn't it? It certainly isn't won on the first day of the first rally. So have you got an area in mind of where you'd like to finish? What's your ultimate aim for the event?
It would be a dream to win, but we've got to focus on a podium and a strong points finish. We'll know a bit more after the first day and the terrain. It's just me getting my head around the terrain and how everything, you know, copes and we'll go from there. And it would be nice to be on the podium. I think I've got my hat set on the podium, and a win would be a massive bonus.
That's great. Do you know what, Oshin? I'm probably a little bit biased saying this, and I keep saying this because obviously I know all you guys from the years of doing BRC and stuff like that, but I've got everything crossed for you, my friend. And
absolutely.
You know, if that happens, you come back and you tell us all about it next week, by all means.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Listen, we wish you the very, very best of luck. Keep a shiny side up, Oshin. And really best of luck.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Take care. Speak to you soon. Bye. Thanks, Oshin.
Cheers.
Bye bye. And that was Oshin Price, and that is us approximately 5 minutes from the end of the show. Now, Ryan Champion, as ever, we do communicate while we're doing this program, and you sent me another excitable text. So you've got some news.
Well, just a couple of bits of news. I'll do my weekly Rally Barbados update as that's coming.
Are you angling for an invite here? Is this all this is?
No, they've looked after me well over the years, I have to say. But the exciting news this week is Simon John-Joseph is going to do the rally in a Focus World Rally car. So Tony Gardemeister and Simon John-Joseph. So it's quite a strong entry now. And obviously Simon John-Joseph was a Works Ford driver. He was Colin's teammate, actually, in that 99 Focus, and certainly a star driver, so that'll be interesting to see. The other really exciting little bit of news I heard at the weekend was regarding World Rally cars for 2017. So as you know, in 2017 it's the new regulations coming, and at the minute we haven't heard anything from the promoters or the FIA about what these regulations might be. But I heard on the grapevine last weekend that there may be a move towards a 36mm restrictor. So that's up from the 33 the cars have currently, and that would take them, as the World Touring cars currently have, up to about 380 horsepower. So that would be quite exciting to see, wouldn't it?
I was just about to say, surely it's kind of the craziness of Group B, but we're just slightly more aimable, the cars.
Yeah, I mean, it would certainly give the cars more grunt and therefore be more spectacular. But the other interesting thing was as well that the proposal is that they'll allow the cars to be 55mm wider, so over 5cm wider. So again, more spectacular in terms of performance, but they will also look more spectacular as well. And I think that as a rally fan, that's got to be exciting news.
We all love wide track.
Definitely.
Hey, one thing we've been threatening to do is the codes from the guys at Dirt, and we thought we'd tie it in with Portugal. Now Ryan has been doing a little bit of homework, and we apparently we've got a stage we'll put this out on Twitter, or rather put this out live now, but we would like the email, because we're obviously, there's people who listen to the podcast, so it would be unfair if we excluded them. So it is email at totalrallystudio.com. So Ryan Champion, what is the task in hand in order to win these codes?
Well, we've talked about probably the most famous stage of Rally Portugal already, which is Faf, and it's amazing jump. It is the power stage, the last stage of the rally, so it only seems fitting that we choose that stage.
So the task in hand is to guess, or to get the nearest second, the fastest stage time over it. Is that what we're saying?
Yep, and it's 11.15 kilometres. So 11.15 kilometres, what is the fastest time on that stage going to be?
Now, when was the last time that stage was used?
Well, it was used last year on the Rally Sprint.
Ah, okay.
But certainly in terms of the rally, it must be about 19... Off the top of my head, I'm guessing 1990... mid-90s.
Okay, so that's going to be interesting. So you're going to have to do a little bit of homework. And what we would like all submissions to be in probably no later than Saturday evening. So if you're listening to the podcast next Monday, obviously it's after the event, don't try your hand. That'd be the kind of thing I'd do. So, but if you could email your answers to email@totalrallystudio.com, and Ryan will have a little look at them. And yeah, there you go. So we'll come back with that. But Ryan, we're fast approaching the end of Total Rally. And what's happened the rest of the week for you then down at Goodwood?
Well, I'm down here for the remainder of the week, and it's like I said, it's a nice part of the world to be in, I have to say, over at the race circuit for the next couple of days, and then I'm actually heading off to sunny Barbados next week.
Are you working over there as well?
No, I'm going on holiday.
Oh, okay. Are you going over on holiday for the event?
We're going to go for the rally. We will be there to watch the rally, and then we have a quiet 10 days after the event's finished.
I like the term quiet 10 days. Listen,
well, it's not quiet during the rally anyway.
Listen, it's been ace. It is the end of Total Rally, as everybody knows. And Ryan, thank you for joining us again tonight, and we'll catch up next week after Portugal. And yeah, thank you again. Enjoy Goodwood.
Thank you. Great to be here once again.
I'll speak to you soon. Take care, mate. And that's the end of Total Rally, folks. It's been, I always say this, I know, but it has been a bit of a hectic one. And thank you to Ryan, as ever. And hopefully we'll have Ryan back again, I'm sure, very, very soon. And thank you to all our guests. Nicky Grist, absolute legend. We'll get Nicky back again another time. And Stuart Loudon, bad luck to Stuart. Hopefully we'll catch up with him during happier times. Good news that, obviously, he's out to do something with Alistair McRae out in China. I'm fascinated to know a little bit more about that, so we will get him back. And obviously to Oshan Price, very, very best of luck over on his very first JWRC event. And obviously thanks to Grizzly Rich Milner for coming on and telling us all what's going on in the service park for M Sport. Anyway, my name's been Tony Simpson. You can tweet me at TonySimpson74, and if you want to tweet the programme, you know where we live. It is at Total Rally. And you've all been fantastic tonight getting involved on Twitter. As I say, for the question, email at totalrallystudio.com. And my name's Tony Simpson. As I say, good night, God bless.